Well, hello, everybody, and a very warm welcome to today's Catholic News podcast. And we are fast approaching the 60th World Communications Day. So it's a very good time to talk about the theme, which is preserving human voices and faces. And that looks at basically upholding human dignity, empathy, moral judgment in an era that's obviously dominated by emerging tech, artificial intelligence, of course, and algorithmic content. Now, who better to speak to than our lead bishop for the media? And that's Bishop John Arnold. Bishop John, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Glad to be invited.
Lovely, good to have you here. Now, obviously, these are big questions, how we retain our humanity in the face of technological advancement. Now, Pope Leo uses faces and voices on many occasions in his message for World Communications Day. And he's clearly trying to impose upon us that we're made in the image and likeness of God. And we need to retain our human characteristics, don't we, as technology advances?
We certainly do. I think we must value artificial intelligence, AI, in as far as it can be of benefit. And it is a wonderful invention. But with all inventions, we've got to be quite sure that it doesn't intrude on personality, conscience, or on people's freedom to be who we are, made in the image of God. So we've got to be very careful about this because it's coming at such a rush. And so many people, I think, are unaware of the power to persuade that AI has. And they can just give over to AI to make decisions and that they lose their sense of their own personality and humanity. And this can even move into moral questions too, and they can be persuaded to take decisions which really they wouldn't if they were to stand back and say, who am I? What am I about? What are the choices that face me? And how do I best live out the choices that I have? Artificial intelligence, I think, yes, can be of benefit, and Pope Leo does actually say that in part of his message of communication, but he says it with the warning that we mustn't lose who we are as people.
No, very well said. Absolutely that. Talking specifically about the algorithms, I heard what you said there about, you know, maybe making decisions you wouldn't ordinarily. And even those of us who are getting on a little bit in age, you know, I never thought I'd see the time where I'd be glued to my phone or sort of scrolling aimlessly. I thought that was the domain of you know, younger people, but it actually is sort of designed to catch you, isn't it? The algorithms are there, not quite to addict you, but certainly to keep you passively scrolling and passively involved.
Yes, there's this question of leading you on and taking you step by step, which may seem to be very logical and clear, but actually is leading you away from who you are in making your own decisions about the situation and the challenges you face and what are the opportunities it looks to dictate for you, which is very unhealthy and detracts from who we are as people.
Now, you know, you're a thinker, you have an academic mind. How important is it for us not to be led by the hand by an algorithm? How do we sort of push back a bit?
Well, I think we mustn't lose sight of the initial question that we're trying to answer and to see. It's not simply a way of decisions being made for us. We've got to consider all the evidence that surrounds any decision that we make and to be sure that we're not simply giving over to a mechanical force the choices that can be made, because that mechanical voice is really a lot of information, sometimes misinformation, and it can come to conclusions because it's incomplete in what it has, but it lacks that authenticity of the human mind making its own decision for the circumstances in which a person finds himself or herself.
Now, we'll come on to the positives, because you said at the very top of this that there are positives and we need to not get left behind, as it were. But it makes me think that in this synodal church, this synodal era, you know, a lot of our learning, a lot of our progress is made through encounter, isn't it? Speaking to people authentically, walking alongside them, understanding their joys and their challenges. How much do we need to bear that in mind as the church, you know, seeks to follow a culture of encounter?
Well, I think this synodal phase into which we've entered now is really a doorway to wisdom, because it says that in all things, let's talk together, let's discern together. We may be surprised by the conclusions that we come to because we gather people together to have their own expression of decisions to be made and circumstances in which we find ourselves. And we can be very well influenced by other people. What we mustn't allow ourselves to be influenced by is a sort of a non-personality, mechanical source of information. Some of that information may be helpful to us, but it doesn't make our decisions for us. And that's the real strength, I think, of the Synod in the Church at the moment, that sense of renewal, that we're living in changing times. We want to live gospel values, but the way that we live those gospel values needs to be changing because of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. So we can talk together, we can discern together, and we can look to where the Spirit is leading us in our present age and not give way to some mechanical nonsense that says you must do this or this is the answer, because it has no personality, no sense, sensory factor in it. It's simply information gathered and stored in a particular way.
And it's probably important to say, I think, certainly listening to Pope Leo as he's gone past the first year of his pontificate, he's not anti-progress, is he? I think it's important to say that. He does, in fact, talk about a possible alliance with technology, with responsibility, cooperation and education.
Oh, I think Pope Leo is very realistic about where the Church is in the modern world and how we must use the best of facilities around us in order to progress gospel values and to live them out. And he's open, he's got this wonderful, calm listening, open to whatever people want to say, so that we can analyse what all these people have to say and come up with the best decisions. That there's no simply writing a document that says, this is how we do things. We've to be open. And that means that constant awareness of the need to change in order to be more effective in living gospel values today.
I wonder, perhaps, having listened to a talk by Abbot Christopher Jamieson the other day on the Benedictine rule and how that can be a factor in the future, and an interesting point he made, and as you know, he's made it before in different ways, is that perhaps a response might be to know when to take a break from technology, when to enjoy a bit of silence, perhaps, or when to put down phones and tablets and pick up books, or, you know, we talk about moving into a new era. We must retain some of the old, you know, you used the word wisdom. We must retain a lot of that academic rigour, mustn't we?
Oh, I think so. I'm a bit horrified when out in the street, so many people are holding their phones, consulting their phones as they walk along. They seem to sort of rely far too much on this sense of technology. And that's going to be very dangerous, because we lose sight of who we are, the freedom of mind that we have, that quality of being able to assess different factors concerning the decisions we need to make. And it's very good to enter a place which is free of that technological influence, to be able to be at peace with ourselves and to recognize who we are as unique individuals. And that dialogue that we can have with other people around us is so important, rather than that plugging into some sort of intelligence which is trying to make decisions for us, which really do not deal with the factors or the circumstances in which we find ourselves. So turning off the phone is important, and being quiet and being in dialogue with people face to face is so important.
And we likely stand on the threshold of Pope Leo's first encyclical, don't we? It's not going to be too long, I don't think. It'll likely be a sort of rerum novarum for the 21st century, looking at these, you know, communications technology, keeping the human person and human dignity very much at the fore. Are you looking forward to magnificent humanity, as it's likely to be called?
Yes, certainly. And I think this is Pope Leo's style, isn't it? It's coming a century after Pope Leo XIII's Rerum Novarum, which really opened up Catholic social teaching. And was really a great statement about let's make the church relevant to the world in which we live today. And I think Pope Leo XIV, our present pope, is saying now we must remind ourselves, and here is an important thing, artificial intelligence. It can be used to our benefit, but it mustn't get to a place of priority in our lives that it doesn't value. And we must use it well, but not be governed or in any way dictated to by it.
No, absolutely. And I think after the warnings and the opportunities, Pope Leo offers quite a simple conclusion, actually. And I'm just going to read the quote from the penultimate sentence, actually. We need faces and voices to speak for people again. We need to cherish the gift of communication as the deepest truth of humanity, to which all technological innovation should also be oriented. That's actually powerful, but simple, isn't it?
Very clear. And I think it summarizes the whole sentiment of what he says, that, you know, people must not be forgotten, and they're valued. It's our opinions and our personalities and our consciences which, working together, will give us a firm direction for the best solutions to the problems of our time.
And a final word then, because obviously on the 17th of May, World Communications Day, we do also have a second collection. And it's important we explain what we do when we're asking for support, you know, not just financial support, but prayers of the Catholics in England and Wales for this work. Why is our communications work so important, would you say?
I would think that communications is vital because without good communications, using truth and disseminating truth, we can easily lose our way in the world in which we live, and we become the puppets to other ideologies that are not helpful and not progressive, and certainly nothing to do with gospel values. So we need the best of communications, and that's not in any way a communication that dictates, but one which helps us to discern.
Bishop John, our lead bishop for communications, Bishop of Salford, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for the invitation.